Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. This is Pastor Chris Gordon. We're here with Wes Bradenhoff, the pastor of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're thankful on this Friday session to discuss contemporary issues facing Christianity today and apply them to the Word of God and ask how a Christian is to live before our Lord in confidence. Today, we're going to look at an issue that has been facing us over the past, I'd say, few years. Wes, we're living in turbulent times. Mm-hmm. Turbulent times in so many ways. For instance, I was reading news headlines. Mississippi River is flooding. Lightning has ignited again all these fires in California. A typhoon hit over the weekend in the Philippines. One ship, cruise ship, capsized. 700 are gone. Earthquakes, cyclones, flooding in Iowa. Then you have all the economic stress. 20% of Americans right now are borrowing against their retirements. $100 for a tank of gas.
Yeah, it's on both sides of the border.
Debt is piled up. Savings are depleted. Inflation. One economist said that the perfect storm is in the making physically and economically. Mm-hmm. You know, Christians. You know, you think of the Y2K scare where it was the Christians who were in panic the most. How are we as Christians to live in such turbulent times? And what is the message Scripture gives to us? It's such an important question for today mm-hmm. in these turbulent times. And what sort of perspective are we to have through these things? What is God doing? These sort of big questions that are before us.
Well, I think one of the things we have to do, Chris, is to keep the big picture in mind. And as part of that big picture, we remember that our lifespans are very short. We, you know, maybe would live to 90 or 100 years old. And in that short period of time, we think that we see a lot of new things, a lot of things that have never happened before. But in reality, if you're a student of history, you realize that there is really nothing new under the sun. There have been disasters since the beginning of the world. And these sorts of things are nothing new. And people have to keep that perspective in mind that, you know, we think we're living through turbulent times, but really, in reality, history has been full of turbulent times. And God's people have lived through those turbulent times, and they've gotten through them. And the way that they've gotten through them is through faith and trust in God, and trusting God's love for them in Jesus Christ.
You know, that's true. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus rehearses all of these things that are happening in this present age between the time of his ascension and his return. And he highlights all the major things, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, false Christs, things that could really shake us up in these turbulent times. And Jesus makes a very strong statement in that. In the middle of all of that, see to it that you are not alarmed. All these things must come to pass. Certain things strike me in that statement. Number one, the call for the Christian to not live in alarm. That doesn't mean we don't live in wisdom and in preparation of doing what's right. But the alarming factor there is that we have a God. If we don't live in alarm, we're demonstrating that we have a God who is sovereign mm-hmm. over everything that happens.
Yeah. And not only does he have a hand of power, not only is he sovereign, but he also loves his people through all these things. And he is guiding the events of history to his appointed ends, which is for our good. And we trust him in that because he is our loving Father.
Right. And I think see to it not you're not alarmed. These things must come to pass. Why must these things come to pass? Well, why do we have all these things going on? the Lord is shaking things up. And we know he's shaking things up for, you know, he said in that very section, he's going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's shaking things up that people would come, as Haggai says, to the desire of the nations, mm-hmm. who is Christ. And it's a good thing, but mm-hmm. we don't always see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord uses trials, temptations. He uses different means to bring people to himself. And one of these means are these natural disasters. You know, and I think the Lord also gives them to his people who already believe in him, also to give them the big picture, to give them perspective. And I think Luke 13 also contributes to that perspective, where there was a tower that fell. Maybe I'll just read those verses, verses 1 to 5 of Luke 13. There were present at that season some who told him, the Lord Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Those are powerful words.
Well, it's it's extremely powerful, because what Jesus was essentially saying, well, these people came and they had the assumption that those must have been bad sinners for those things to happen to them. And Jesus turns it right on their heads and says, no, you know what that tells you? You better repent, because that's right. A foretaste of coming attractions.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think sometimes we get this perspective that we are the Christian nation and that all these natural disasters that are happening in China or Burma or wherever else are happening because those people are the unbelievers. No, that's not the case at all. The Lord brings natural disasters on America and on Canada just as well as in any part, other part of the world. And the message in all of those natural disasters is the same to all of us. You know, repent and believe in Jesus Christ.
Well, exactly. These things that happen reflect the very problem that there is sin in the world, and that God is a just God, and that he is calling people through these things to look to Christ, to flee to Christ. And that's a whole different perspective. Wes, somebody could hear this today and be troubled by the fact that we say, well, I think of what happened on Larry King Live. There were panel pastors. Larry King, as keen as he is, poses to the pastors, well, was God in control of 9/11? Mm-hmm. Now, every one of those pastors except one said, oh, no, God wasn't involved in that. And John MacArthur says, if God wasn't involved in that, then I serve a weak, powerless God.
Right.
You see, and this is hard for people to understand, isn't it?
Yeah.
That God is so in control of these things.
Well, it goes back to that age-old question, you know, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? You know, that question has a premise in it. You know, number one, that we're all good people, and that, you know, these bad things that are happening are things that, you know, we don't deserve, things that we don't have coming to us. Well, really, we have a lot worse coming to us than a natural disaster, than 9/11 or an earthquake or a typhoon or a hurricane or what have you.
Yeah, I think your book should be, Wes, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Bad People?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the book title. There you go. So anyways, these are, you know, this is the picture and the reality of these things. The Lord is stirring up the world so that we would look to Christ in true faith. And that's the perspective that the Christian has to have. You know, it's constantly presented to us in the scriptures for the Christian now. Now, that's the world. But for the Christian, there is to be a strong confidence in the Lord of his power and his providence in all things, directing it to his end. And
right.
I think at times Christians don't always display that. We seem more worried than the world.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason, Chris, why the number one command in the Bible, the command that we find most often in the Bible, is do not fear or do not be afraid or something along those lines. And then I think of a passage like Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, and that same psalm concludes by saying, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, trusting in God is the antidote to fear, to being afraid. And, you know, if God is on our side, against us shall be none.
Well, and I think you started this whole section, Wes, with a really wise comment. You know, Psalm 90, Moses developed a perspective about life. Here, all he watched the whole generation of Israel wiped out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. You know, those 40 years of traveling, and that whole generation died. And he writes this psalm, the only psalm we have from Moses, and consider his perspective. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting unto everlasting, you are God. And then this language, you turn man to dust.
Yeah.
And say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening it is cut down and withers. And he goes on to say, in your wrath we are terrified. We finish our years like a sigh. And he then turns around and says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Yeah, and the numbering of our days is not an exercise in arithmetic.
Right.
It's an exercise in wisdom. It's knowing that, you know, our lives are short. And because our lives are short, you know, we live them in before the face of God and in God's presence.
Right, and that's how he finishes, just what you said at the end. He has this great hope that is highlighted in this very dark psalm, in a sense. At the end, it turns to such light where he says, make us glad in the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we've seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. There is a purpose.
Right. Yeah, and we can especially be assured of that because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, we are assured of God's love for us. We're assured of God's blessing upon us. We're assured of God's presence and nearness through all these sufferings.
And that means that, why do we have to be downcast, O my soul? Our hope and confidence is in the one who has given us such a blessing in life and in death.
Absolutely.
And such hope.
Yeah.
So, Wes, tell us about your church, Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Well, we worship at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays in Langley, close to the airport in Langley. People can get more information by going to our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Well, we are thankful you join us every day, week. You can always send us your questions for Abounding Grace at lyndonurc.com. We'll be happy to take them up. Until another edition of Abounding Grace next Friday with Wes, we thank you for tuning in, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Lyndon. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Lyndon, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Lyndon. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Lyndon and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LyndonURC.com. Again, LyndonURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LyndonURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.